You know, this healthcare business just is an enigma to me. I mean, there's nothing right about it. We've been carrying a story all week long about United Healthcare being investigated by the Department of Justice, and both criminal and civil. And it wasn't too long ago, as Kaiser Permanente or Aetna, Humana, that I started getting letters saying that I'm got getting out of network treatment when I know that it's in network, and Obamacare was supposed to simplify this. And it's a rotten business, except that Chris Gay understands it. He's the CEO and co-founder of Every Health, and he's the one that's sort of the intermediary and puts businesses together with businesses and help puts together healthcare programs. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, David.
So this business doesn't get any simpler, does it?
No. If I'd known how complex this was, I would not have started it 8 years ago.
Well, so but I mean, so you're dealing with companies and you know, the companies get pushback. I mean, if I'm a disgruntled employee and it takes forever for me to get pre-authorized for some stupid procedure, I'm not going to go to the healthcare company. I'm going to go to my employer and say, HR, and I say, why am I stuck like this?
Sure. Yeah. Well, part of there is there's a large gap between perception and reality. And I think the industry has done a terrible job over the past few decades of educating the public on why population health is needed. PAs, though, exist to make sure we follow good standards of care and reduce clinical variation. The whole goal is to make sure, just follow the science, take care of people. I think some organizations don't do a great job of following the science.
I know,
and
I know,
that has led to a lot of frustration.
I noticed every healthcare is every health beginning to use artificial intelligence in this. How does that help you?
Sure, we use AI as a decision support tool. So, from a just big picture, PAs are a huge challenge. It's a shared
PA,
challenge.
Okay, remind me what a PA is.
Prior authorization. Let's say you need a significant procedure like a knee replacement, and it's an opportunity just to double check the work before you do a risky procedure and make sure it's going to be in the interest of the patient. The challenge is that in practice, it becomes a slow process, right, where answers get delivered in days, whereas we want to deliver answers in minutes. And nurses and doctors get snowed under in, you know, 100-page fax forms, and they don't want to do that. They want to be delivering care and helping people. So there's an opportunity to really improve the industry and move it forward with technology, and we use AI to improve medical quality to help us surface things that, hey, even great trained physicians miss. We use AI to help us speed the process so that it's happening in minutes while you get an answer while your patient's still in the doctor's office. And we use it to make sure our nurses and doctors work at the top of their license rather than doing administrivia. It's important to note that we never, ever use AI to do a medical denial. Nurses and doctors are in control of patient outcomes.
This improvement, I mean, is this eventually going to lead to people being happier and the employers being happier and HR getting less calls?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, our goal, it's a crazy goal, but our goal would be, over the long term, to eliminate prior authorizations for all intents and purposes. But that only happens in partnership with medical providers. And right now, roughly 40 to 45% of the prior authorization requests we receive are still faxes, David. I mean, we'll sometimes get a 130-page fax. You know, it's skewed 30 degrees and has three people's handwriting on it, stamps. And you know, we've got to get through all of that information and make a clinical determination as fast as possible. That's not a small thing. And our lives would get a lot easier if people used modern technology. Nevertheless, even with those obstacles, at Every Health, we've managed to drive prior authorization medical denials all the way down to only 7%, whereas our industry peers are anywhere from 18 to 35%.
Because the sense was that there's sort of knee-jerk rejections and just, you know, come back and try to prove to me that this procedure is necessary. And that's where some of the doctors have told me in the past.
Yeah, I think there are to be polite, I think there are in any industry there are bad actors. Okay, and there are organizations that don't follow science as well as they should, or take the maybe a better way to phrase it, David, is some organizations take the opportunity to create friction in the process and slow it down. And I don't think they do it malevolently. It's just an administrative burden. So for instance, best example I can give, let's say a prior authorization request comes in and they got most of the codes on it, the medical codes, but they forgot a key medical code. Some organizations will immediately administratively reject that and force the physician's office to resubmit it. We at Every Health go the extra mile. We go, oh, hey, you probably meant to include that code. We're going to put that in for you, and we're going to file it correctly on your behalf, and then we're going to reach out to your office and tell you, hey, next time, please submit it with that code as part of that grouping, and it'll get through faster. And so we don't administratively deny it in that example. We go ahead and help them with their homework and push it through so that it gets an approval quickly.
You know, it's interesting. The White House has actually gotten involved in this, right?
The White House has. This is a hot button issue politically.
And it is something that they can do something about?
I think they have behind the scenes done their best to work with industry. And that's part of the reason America's Health Insurance Plans, which is a large national lobbying body, pushed out a voluntary set of guidelines, of which we're a signatory member, trying to improve the prior authorization process nationally.
So let me understand what needs to fix. I mean, I can understand that doctors need to have fax machines replaced and need to come up into the 21st century. But what about on the provider side, the Humanas and the, you know, Kaiser Permanentes and Cignas and United Health and those people? Where's the problem?
Well, it depends by line of business. You know, Medicare is very different than Medicaid. It's different than commercial insurance where I'm at in Every Health. But in general, it's a few groupings. One, there's too many codes, right? You know, you if you want to, you could have prior authorizations on 19,000 or 20,000 different medical codes. Rough number.
Wow.
Can you get that number smaller, right? Could you get it to less than 10,000? Could you get it to less than 5,000? Where are the really high impact issues that we need to focus on where clinical variation causes terrible outcomes for people, right? That's what you want. You want to just focus on where you can help people the most.
Well, that's an industry fix. That's not legislative, I wouldn't think.
Well, but legislature, we're regulated on 50 different states.
Oh, that's right.
So, you know, these big insurance carriers, Every Health, we're focused on Texas. A lot of these big insurance carriers have 50 different sets of rules they have to deal with, and each one has very strict requirements and turnaround times in a different form. But they want to get the number of codes reduced. They want to get the turnaround time reduced so people are getting answers in minutes rather than hours or days. And along the way, you want to get the accuracy higher. You want to increase medical quality. And then finally, you've got an industry that runs on paper. Hospitals and doctors' offices still overwhelmingly run on phone calls and paper and fax machines, and roughly 45% of the process is still manual. And both hospitals and physicians and insurers need to move to electronic systems. And that's kind of the last big goal.
And that doesn't seem like a great hurdle to overcome. You'd hope we could do that. Maybe the next time we speak, we'll have made some progress with that. Chris Gaze, the CEO and co-founder of Every Health. It's good to spend some time with you again. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much.
For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.